The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and Sinn Féin parliamentary parties meet today for the first time following the election as Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael eye up potential coalition partners. Independents becoming more and more likely to be that partner, with Labour and the Social Democrats being left out. To get the latest, we're joined by Gabia Gadavacaita, political correspondent with the Irish Independent. Gabia, good morning.
Morning, Pat.
So these meetings, what do you think the tone will be in terms of Fianna Fáil? Definitely one of celebration.
Yes, of course. And they are emerging as the biggest party. And I think that's going to be key to today's meeting. So first of all, just to explain that what's going to happen at the parliamentary party meetings is that they will give a mandate to the party leader to enter government talks, which, of course, that mandate will come. Fianna Fáil, certainly, you know, they have 10 more seats over Fine Gael. And talking to some of those newly elected and re-elected TDs yesterday, they're telling us, look, we should definitely use that leverage that we have. We shouldn't be ashamed of it. I think Louth TD Aaron McGreehan saying we should be proud of the fact that we've 10 more extra seats. So I suppose for Fine Gael, they're also going to be getting together and seeing what the next steps are. They're also going to give that mandate to Simon Harris to go off and form a government. But when you speak to backbenchers in both of those parties, they think that it'll be more than likely independent TDs that they end up doing a deal with. Of course, the gap that they need to have the Dáil majority now is very slim, but it is likely that perhaps maybe even up to another 8 or even 10 independents could be brought in to stabilise that number.
Well, the more they bring in, at the higher the price is likely to be in terms of maybe junior ministries or the job of the Cian Chorla or something. And any independent would probably bite your hand off to get the job of Cian Chorla, because it would mean they would not have to fight the next election.
Yes, of course. And there's a lot of jobs that are up for grabs, not just the Cian Chorla, but of course, lots of Minister of State, junior minister jobs, the super junior cabinet positions that are there too, and of course, full cabinet roles. So Fianna Fáil is very keen to keep the housing portfolio and also to take on justice. That was a big talking point during the general election campaign. They spoke a lot about justice and they're very anxious to keep it. There may be some considerations about health. You know, health may go to Fine Gael. It is the one that's seen as more tricky to handle. Ultimately, it'll be for the two leaders to get into a room and hammer out those finer details. And of course, the question is which independent TDs you bring in, how many of them, and what demands do they have? You know, how long is the shopping list?
And the problem is, you know, if you went with one of the other parties like Labour or the Social Democrats, they would have a party platform. So there's a list of demands. With independents, each one has their own particular personal shopping list.
Yes, so that's really the key difference. I think the reason why Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael prefer Labour is because they have that experience in government. They know how government works, and they're more able to persevere. The fear with Social Democrats is that they don't have any experience, and at the first hurdle, they would fall. The government would be quite unstable. But the rationale behind the independents is that they are loyal. Once you get them on board, you know, if they've done it before, for example, Sean Kenny, you know, if they've done it before, they are trustworthy. For example, Michael Lowry. Some of those TDs may also be in their last terms as TDs, not to preempt anything at this early stage, but they may not be in favour of collapsing a government. They might want it to go on. And they may be more reasonable in their approach. So certainly Bertie Ahern was also out over the weekend. He was saying, you know, he was in a government with independents and he found them to be very reliable. So it's interesting if his remarks will be listened to.
Yeah, because independents are reliable because they have to fight their elections in as solitary campaigners with, of course, their teams. But still, they've got to finance those campaigns. And they don't want any kind of an early election. They don't want to collapse a government that will bring huge costs down on their shoulders.
Of course. And I will also make the point that it's certain kinds of independence that the backbenchers that we're speaking to would prefer. It's more so the Sean Kennys, the Marian Harkins, the Michael Lowrys of the world. They're not too keen on independent Ireland. You know, they're not sure about their policies. Some of them saying, you know, they're quite populist in their approach. So it's more so those independents who would have previously supported the government quietly, perhaps in many ways. And you're right. If I mean, that's not the case for everybody, but mostly speaking, independents, when they're involved in governments, they don't really take the hit electorally afterwards, like the Green Party did, for example. They're able to keep their seats and come back, and it works out well for them. So it's interesting to see which independents it'll be, how many it'll be. I think that's the key number over the next couple of weeks.
Now, the question of a larger party going in, the Social Democrats, or more likely, as you put it, the Labour Party, you know, by saying we're not going in because we're afraid that what will happen is we'll become the mudguard for the coalition government, and if things go badly wrong, well, then we will be the ones to take the biggest hit, like the Greens have done and the Labour Party in the past. Mm-hmm. However, if you negotiate a programme for government that you're confident in, the opposite view is that this will be a successful government and we will prosper on the basis of its success.
Look, there's a couple of things at play here. First of all, the country has a lot of money. So the Labour Party, of course, the last time went into government, that was not the case. And a lot of very difficult decisions had to be done. And indeed, the Labour Party did suffer. And I think the scars of the past are haunting really the future possibilities here for Labour. And they are worried that they will be obliterated at the next election, like what has happened to the Greens. However, because the country does have money, Labour ministers of any description who, you know, go on to take on departments, or Labour TDs who negotiate a programme for government, they have a chance for real impact and to make a real difference and to put Labour stamp on the next couple of years of decisions that are made at government level. However, they are worried because the gap that's needed to plug the majority is so slim. It's really just a couple of TDs. Now, of course, you need a bigger majority for a more stable government, ideally. But they're saying, look, we're just going to go in, prop them up, and they don't really see what the benefit will be. Also, you know, some of those Labour Party members are younger. They may be more social democratic in their approach. But the reality is that a government without Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, the numbers just really aren't there for it.
Yeah. And then Fergus Finlay of the Labour Party, a former backroom guru for the Labour Party, said yesterday, you know, if they don't really need you that much, and they don't in numerical terms to get anything through, then what you can exact in return for your support becomes minimised.
Yes, he made the good, interesting point of saying they don't need us, they'd like us. You know, Fine Gael particularly are in favour of the Labour Party because they view their values as being similar. And, you know, they would say, look, they have the experience, they've done it before. And in fairness, not everybody in the Labour Party is dead set against going into government. Certainly what we've heard publicly in the last couple of days from some of those top figures, such as Alan Kelly, for example, is that it's better not to be on the sidelines. You want to be playing on the pitch. But Marie Sherlock, speaking earlier in the week, the newly elected Dublin Central TD, she was saying, look, that it's more than likely going to be a continuation of the same. And she's not in favour of going in with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. So we know that they're going to have talks with Social Democrats and the Green Party, but to form, perhaps they may form some sort of an alliance which they can enter government talks with, but the numbers just really aren't there.
Yeah, and there's no way they can even mount some sort of an alliance that would mirror the amount of seats that Fine Gael have on offer to Fianna Fáil. So that brings us back to Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, government primarily with a few independents. The question of rotating Taoiseach, I mean, much is being made of those kind of calls from Fianna Fáil backbenchers. Don't give it to them. And one of my texters is it. I really hope they don't do rotating Taoiseach. I'm not a Fianna Fáil voter, but they got the majority in the Dáil, so Fianna Fáil should be Taoiseach. I hope they stick to their guns. It's a circus otherwise. Do you think it's a real debate or is it an inevitability?
So exactly the argument that Texter is making, some of those TDs in Fianna Fáil are making as well. But I think a lot of them acknowledge that, look, 10 seats is a lot, and that will give them the edge in negotiations for sure when it comes to, for example, how long the rotating Taoiseach, you know, it may not be exactly down the middle. The cabinet portfolios also may not exactly be down the middle. But the reality is, if Fine Gael insist on the rotating Taoiseach deal and say, look, we're not going into government without it, what does Fianna Fáil do then? Does it scrap Fine Gael and go in with Sinn Féin, even though Micheál Martin said the entire campaign he emphasised that Fianna Fáil would not go in with Sinn Féin? So I think they will have to give leeway on that one. But those 10 seats, expect a lot of talk of those 10 seats in the next couple of weeks, because that is the leverage that Fianna Fáil have. So they may say, look, we want Micheál Martin to be Taoiseach longer. We want those portfolios of justice. We also want to keep housing. And Fine Gael may have to let them have their way.
Now, the question of rotating Taoiseach, I was suggesting yesterday that you could do multiply rotating Taoiseach. In other words, 2 years of Micheál, 2 years of Simon, and 1 year back to whoever's leading Fianna Fáil in 4 years' time.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of scenarios there up for grabs, and I'm sure Fianna Fáil will go through all of those with a fine-tooth comb and see what is best advantageous for them. Certainly, we would expect that Micheál Martin is back or has his first stint as Taoiseach, rotating or otherwise, because he did do the best in the election, and that gives him the edge. I think the last time it was Leo Varadkar and Micheál Martin that hammered it all out in a room, just the two of them. And I think there is an acknowledgement that that probably is the best way to go. But of course, that doesn't stop TDs having their own opinions. Mm.
Rather than being the junior partner, the Greens lost out because they couldn't get electoral buy-in to the more extreme climate control measures that they sought, whether those ultimately are the right ones or otherwise they just could not get buy-in. That's from one texter. How can Fine Gael and Labour values be the same? One is centre-right, the other is centre-left. I think my colleague Ciara Kelly was saying, aren't they all kind of centre-left when you compare them with other jurisdictions? They all want cheaper childcare. They all want lots of social housing. They all want stuff that the Americans would be appalled at, whether they're Democrats or Republicans.
Yeah, so it's interesting to see even the very similar policies that we saw during the campaign. You know, childcare, for example, was one that I think nearly all parties said we want to cap childcare costs at €200 a month. So surely this is something that should be achieved in the next government. You know, they're all talking about the housing crisis. So surely we should see a big boost in the numbers of social, affordable, cost rental homes that are being built in the next couple of years. I think notably, Fine Gael putting out this Project Fear, if you will, and the economic stability, because polls showed that the public trusted Fine Gael most on the economy, and that's what they tried to hammer home in those final days of the campaign, that they're the ones that are the safe pair of hands, putting out Pascal Donoghue. You know, he's managed several difficult budgets and pandemic budgets, cost of living budgets and so on. They're saying, look, you know, he's well able to see us through whatever may happen with Donald Trump in office in, I think it is 6 weeks' time now. So those will all be points that I think will be certainly the focus of programme for government negotiations and whatever red lines are agreed between parties.
Now, finally, it looks like this election is not one that Sinn Féin will care to recall with any great regard, because they dropped their overall vote by some 5% on 2020. They managed to hang on to seats, and they got two seats in places where they only got one the last time. But this was not a great election for Sinn Féin. What do you think the mood will be in their parliamentary party meeting?
So, of course, we know they made the first move with Mary Lou MacDonald writing to, I think it was the Social Democrats and Labour at the start of the week. It's not really clear what it is that they're trying to accomplish. They're saying, look, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael government would be ultimately very bad news for the country. But again, it's an arithmetic game. A government without the two civil war parties really isn't possible. Sinn Féin they have lost their vote, as you say. They're down 5.5%, but they are the second biggest party. But they're in this really awkward position where 4 years ago they had the opportunity of a lifetime, and because they didn't run enough candidates, that opportunity is now gone. And it's very difficult to, number one, to keep the momentum going, to build up the momentum, to keep it going for another 5 years until the next general election. And number two, I mean, how many seats does Sinn Féin really need to have so that it can seriously go into government talks with some of the other parties without Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael? I mean, do they need, you know, 60, 70 seats? I mean, that is an enormous feat, and I don't think we'll see those kinds of numbers in Irish politics again for a very long time, as we did in the last century, perhaps, when we did have majority governments. So there, it's a tricky, sticky situation for Sinn Féin. They've done well, but they haven't really. Certainly, I don't think Mary Lou McDonald is in trouble at this stage, but the party will have to regroup and rethink what happens now. And even in the talks of forming this left alliance, perhaps, or a minority government, it's just they just don't really seem that likely. And if they do form a left alliance, if they're in the opposition benches, really, what use is it there?
Gabby Agatavakaita, political correspondent with the Irish Independent. Thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.